Welcome to Curley's Commentary. I'm your host, Steve Curlander, and tonight we're going to have a great show. I'm going to be discussing a number of national issues with my good friend and mentor, talk radio host Jeff Katz. First, we'll be speaking with Town of Fallsburg Supervisor Steve Vigliante about what's happening in his town and about the present and future in Sullivan County. But before we bring on our guests, I want to welcome two new sponsors to our show, Gaza Graphics and M&M Auto Group. There's a number of great concepts and signs that Chrissy Gaza can create for you at Gaza Graphics. She's another great Sullivan County entrepreneur that we should patronize and be proud of. She has a terrific imagination and a great product. I was in her shop the other day, and boy, I saw some really cool graphic and sign products for both businesses and home. The one that caught my eye was this wall graphic that she can design that she could put on any wall in a house or business. For kids, it's an amazing way to decorate a room, and for a home or business, a terrific way to highlight a wall. So I highly recommend that you check her out at Gaza Graphics. Then I'm honored to be sponsored by Howard and Donna Braunstein at M&M Auto Group. There are also two great entrepreneurs in Sullivan County who contribute significantly to our lives here, not only by selling a variety of great new and used cars, by generously giving back to various causes and organizations in our group, in our community, rather. M&M is one of those important businesses that keep our community going, both on the road and in economic terms. The Braunsteins were very good to me when I had the Independent Weekly Review back in the 1990s, and I value their support in my latest endeavor here on Thunder 102. Now I want to introduce Steve Vigliante, who is the Town of Fallsburg Supervisor, as well as an important member of our business community here in the Catskills. Good evening, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
So, after that last show, that was quite a controversy. Controversial, so I'm a little like hesitant to go on now because
you're talking about what happened. I wasn't here.
Mr. Lamb was interviewed by Mike Sakel. He probably got more death threats than the president of the Ukraine today.
Well, hopefully we can settle it down and actually talk about the future of Sullivan County west of Mamikating, because I think it's pretty bright.
Well, the one thing I was talking to you before the show is that when I moved back to Florida. I found a tremendous amount of bigotry, even in South Florida. And, it was only then I realized the lack of tolerance down, the lack of such bigotry up here in Sullivan County. Kind of breaks my heart, to see that what's going on down there. And having grown up in the town of Fallsburg, we never experienced that.
Not at all.
Quite the opposite, right? I mean,
really the opposite. Whether it be color or religion or creed, it's not something that we ever, at least going to Fallsburg High School, I didn't encounter it. I think it made us, I want to say it made us better adults, especially world adults. I went to college with kids that were seemed a lot more sheltered than I was. And I came from a school with 70 kids that I graduated with. I was in college with kids that graduated with 800-900, and they seemed a lot more sheltered and a lot more, within their
real
own
world,
groups.
Yeah. Right? It wasn't only the school, it was the hotels too. Once in a while I hang out at my brother-in-law's cab stand, the Yellow Cab, who's a sponsor of the show. And, he has got a lot of old hotel employees where, these older guys that were cooks or chefs or waiters in the hotel. And, I really feel a void that the hotels aren't here anymore.
You and I have had this conversation that I don't think anyone should be able to be a functioning adult that has not worked in the service industry for at least 6 months. That's as a waiter, as a busboy. They should be in the service industry because you learn more about interaction with people that are not like you doing that.
Not only that, you learn how to work really, really hard.
That's right.
I mean, anybody who hasn't worked Passover can't say they worked hardest in their life.
That's right. That leads me to my second point. In growing up and working in the hotels, you had to deal with guests, you had to deal with employees on every level and every spectrum, and
ones too. I mean, I saw
unbelievably
crazy. Talk about politically incorrect. I mean, the cursing that went on and the. I remember working in Kutcher's where, for bread, the breakfast chefs would pull a knife on you if you got out of line.
There was summer that I worked at the Pines Hotel, and there was an issue at the Pines in the kitchen where there was a lot of oversight. And I came in the kitchen, I was working at the club, and I needed to get lemons and limes and juice and stuff like that. And like usual, I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I came walking through the kitchen, and they had an older Chinese man that was the chef. His name was Omar.
That was the guy that pulled the knife, too.
Yeah, right, Omar. Yeah. So as I'm walking through, I hear Omar screaming, which was not an uncommon occurrence, and I heard some pretty colorful language, again, not uncommon. But the next thing I saw was and only if you worked in, I've worked in restaurants all my life, I've never seen skillets this big. It was like literally like a 24-inch skillet.
Coming right by your
cast
nose,
cast iron skillet that was coming right at my legs that I had to jump out of the way of. And if, you know, I ran at Omar, who probably would have gutted me like a fish. And luckily,
without even thinking about it, right?
The guy that made soup, the soup chef, actually jumped in between us and stopped it, but... You know, the cast of characters that I dealt with at the hotels I worked at my life.
I worked at the vegetarian hotel in Woodridge from junior year of high school through after law school. And they had one chef there. It was a very rotund French lady. And if you came into her kitchen with a hole in your shirt, she would take her finger and just rip the shirt right to threads.
Yeah, no.
I mean, and you would have to sit there and figure out how to get another shirt on in 5 minutes.
You talk about current, like shows on TV where they talk, you know, like Game of Thrones, where there's this whole hierarchy of, you know, things like that. You learned the hierarchy within your first 2 days of a hotel. I mean, dealing with maitre d's down to busboys, or dealing, you know, with porters, and dealing with, you know, bellhops, and everybody has a place in the hierarchy of a hotel.
And they were from all walks of life. You were working felons.
That's right.
You were working with the highest in terms of society also. You know, you had movie stars, you know, waiting on movie stars. And
I work with kids that were in med school, and I work with, you know, people that literally are on work release programs. So, minute to minute.
So, I mean, growing up in that environment, I think that still carries over now in the town of Fallsburg. I mean, you know, I look at the town of Fallsburg now in a whole different way, a whole different light. I think there's a lot of great stuff going on there. And, you know, even in terms of the Hasidic community, that's a cultural experience that, you know, I really miss down there. I used to go down to Miami Beach just once in a while just to be, you know, to get some good knishes and stuff down there, you know, their section down there. I mean, we don't value our diversity enough.
I think that's, you know, I think what's happening in Mamikating is, you know, and I'm not going to discuss the facts of what's happening because I truly don't know enough about it. I can tell you that, you know, when you deal with developers, you have to cross your T's, dot your I's, and be very, very careful. No matter who the developer is, orthodox or not.
We were talking before the show about that. I mean, I don't care if you're the most pious guy in the world. If you're a developer, you're doing everything possible to try to beat the system, and to beat, you know, even in construction, you know, it's part of doing business, but it doesn't make it right though.
One thing that we've been really, really diligent about in Fallsburg, especially in the last 4 years since, and I my board's right there with me, is, you know, we put a lot of emphasis, we put a lot of assets at our code enforcement office. You know, there was a culture there that, you know, built up over a lot of time that really needed to be reined in. And I applaud Molly Messenger, our code enforcement officer, our current staff, you know, that work under, you know, they're really doing their best. And for everyone's benefit, to make sure that we develop a set of rules and a zoning code that's fair to everybody and that gets applied to everybody.
You know, it was interesting. Last year, you implemented a new set of rules. And it was really groundbreaking for Sullivan County because you were requiring seasonal businesses to put up deposits for the first time, that they had to keep their property a certain way. There were inspections, and that really worked well, right?
You know, it was in the 30s, the amount of seasonal businesses that actually were that had to place a deposit with the town. I'm pleased to tell you that we have it, although I think we're holding a couple deposits, it's only because we're welcoming those businesses back this year, and they asked us to. Almost everyone got their deposits back. I don't think we really executed on anyone's deposit, and the rules sort of got followed. You know, I got a lot of flack from the Orthodox community. I got flack from some in the secular community when we put that in.
But again, that's normal for any kind of imposition of zoning or planning rules. right? I mean, that would be expected anywhere, right?
To some degree, but, you know, there was certainly a feeling, especially among the Orthodox businesses, that we targeted them. And to the extent that the majority of seasonal businesses are Orthodox, I guess that's a fair assessment on their part to feel that way. Our point had nothing to do with Orthodox or secular. Our point had to do with, we have five hamlets, or, you know, there were really five hamlets that had this issue, three of which were, it was very, very serious. And in those hamlets, we have a lot of year-round residents that take a lot of pride in their community. We have Renaissance groups. We have people that work really hard to keep their properties correct. And we expect anyone, whether you're a summer resident, whether you're an Orthodox business, whether you're a year-round resident, to follow that, you know, that same code of conduct. And it's not fair to say to the Woodburn Action Committee that works all year long to keep that place clean, that, you know, people that, and these aren't necessarily the building owners, I would point out. These are, a lot of these businesses come up for the summer. They show up here in June, rent the storefront. They're open to, they try to open up 2 weeks later. That's all fine and good, and we encourage people to come and operate businesses in Fallsburg. But there's got to be rules, and if you're going to do work, it has to be safe. If you're going to do electrical work, it has to be inspected. If you're going to change walls around, you know what, structurally, it's got to be sound. And when you leave, your garbage has to be picked up, and that storefront has to be closed properly, because it's a respect factor, and it's a respect factor to our year-round residents, a respect factor to their neighbors on a seasonal basis as well that are doing the right thing.
This is Curly's commentary on Thunder 102, and right now we're speaking with Steve Vigliante, the supervisor in the town of Fallsburg. Make sure to send us any comments or questions you may have on Twitter at hashtag Curly Commentary Radio, and that's Curly with a K and commentary. So it's Curly Commentary Radio. Steve, at last night's board meeting, you discussed the situation with the winter, what's going on in terms of you know, the lack of salt throughout the state.
Yeah, this has been a tough winter, and you don't have to tell anyone that's listening. You know, one of the things that you look at big storms when you're not in government, you look at big storms and you think, oh, it hasn't been that bad. There's only been a couple. The problem is that, you know, whether it snows an inch or it snows 16 inches, our trucks are out and we're using material. And what we've found this year is we've gone through a tremendous amount of salt and sand.
And overtime too, probably, right?
And overtime. So, you know, we kind of budget for the overtime. We're a little over that, but, you know, that's not something that you can, you know, you just have to try to make that up somewhere else and, you know, and absorb it. But the real problem we're having, we talked about last night, is actually getting material. We've gone through our salt allotment. We're into like what they, you know, a secondary allotment, which is a little bit more expensive. But more importantly, Cargill, who has the state bid, is running out of salt. And what we are seeing this year that you didn't see in most other years is, you know, the amount of snow and storms that are hitting downstate. So a lot of the salt that's being mined and prepared for road use is being sent downstate.
Is that salt coming from like where around Ithaca?
A lot of it does. Yeah, a lot of it does. By the I forgot what lake that is, but that really, really cold Finger Lake.
Cayuga. Cayuga far lake. Above yeah. Cayuga's lake.
Yeah, no,
What's the matter with you?
That is actually one of the... It's actually the one to the left. What's the next Finger Lake to the left? That's where the salt plant is.
I don't know. I almost got killed by one of those trains, those salt trains.
It's crazy.
I was on crew and I was late and I almost got hit by it. They're huge. I mean, the amount of salt that comes out of the mines there is just...
Yeah, the only other time I've ever taken my boat anywhere but Swinging Bridge, I brought it up to that lake, and I think it's on the tip of my tongue right now. But we took the boat, put it in the water, went to go swimming, and it's brutally, brutally cold in the middle of August.
I got thrown in November. I won a race, and I almost caught pneumonia walking up the hill. I mean, it was crazy. But getting back to the salt, I mean, there's been a change in terms of how the roads are treated, right? I mean, they're not using much sand anymore.
Well, you know, up until this year, we'd like to go all salt. I mean, that would be the goal of Fallsburg, would be, you know, similar to Thompson, which I'm not sure this year if they were able to do that too, but generally Fallsburg, Thompson's all salt. It's a hard thing to do because you have to store it differently. Sand, you see sand piles, and as long as it's mixed with salt, sand doesn't clump up and you can use it. Salt you need to put into a barn. We don't have enough storage capacity to really go all salt right now. So what we've been doing is kind of moving in that direction. You know, we buy trucks on a rotating basis, and every time we buy a new truck, usually once a year, that truck comes really more equipped to spread salt and to use a brine solution, which makes the salt much more economical to use salt. If you spread salt with brine, it stays on the roads as opposed to bouncing off. So one by one, we've been doing that. Although this year we had to actually cut back, and a lot of the trucks that were designed to carry all salt are actually carrying a mix because we simply can't get enough of the road salt.
Is it a mix between salt and sand then, or salt and water?
Salt and sand.
So is there any kind of environmental problem using that brine? I mean, I've read stuff where some of that brine is considered just as much as fracking fluid is.
Well, no. People use fracking fluid. It's not. Let me make it very, very clear that we do not use fracking fluid in Fallsburg. We will never use fracking fluid in Fallsburg. It is something that's been used in the past in other locations. That's not what we use. We use it's essentially a salt water solution that basically just keeps the salt on the roadway rather than bouncing off. If you've ever been behind a plow truck, you see it. The salt hits the road and it bounces across, and a lot of it winds up off the road. With the brine, a much larger percentage of the salt actually winds up on the road. And then you can get into a pre-treatment situation, which we haven't done yet, but where you can go out and pre-treat your roads, and the first couple inches of snow really don't stick. So that's something that we're really going to move toward that. And as far as salt storage, we have a plan to build a salt barn in the next couple of years, and hopefully within a short amount of time, 4 to 5 years, we should be all salt. That's our plan.
We're going to take a break now. This is Curly's commentary on Thunder 102.
On air, online,
on your cell phone. Thunder 102.
Fall cleanup project? Call the experts at Thompson Sanitation. Whether you're a contractor or a homeowner, Thompson Sanitation offers roll-off and dumpster services for delivery in Sullivan County and surrounding areas. Call Thompson Sanitation for your next job, big or small, from cleanups to remodeling, demolition, or roofing jobs. Thompson Sanitation will deliver your container in 10, 20, or 30 cubic sizes, usually within 24 hours, any Monday through Friday. Find out more by calling Thompson Sanitation at 845-796-1032 to reserve your roll-off by speaking with their knowledgeable and pleasant staff for detailed information. Thompson Sanitation provides residential curbside pickup, garbage and recycling services with monthly, quarterly, as well as annual billing options. Call Thompson Sanitation. Ask about their special offers and senior citizens rates. Thompson Sanitation, 845-796-1032. Thompson Sanitation, managing your disposal needs since 1986.
Look no further, look no longer. You are home. Announcing the grand opening of Sullivan County's first full-service luxury residential community, the Sullivan Regency. Located on West Broadway in Monticello, the Sullivan Regency is a $20 million development filled with luxury condos that have custom granite counters, vaulted ceilings, and private spacious balconies. Key building amenities include a full-time doorman, 24-hour monitored security, custom-designed and constructed indoor and outdoor pool, designer fitness center, and an interactive game room. You have to see it to believe it. Call Charles Brodsky at 914-490-3433. That's 914-490-3433. Or visit SullivanRegency.com. Look no further. Look no longer. You are home. The Sullivan Regency.
Real fun. Real fun. Real close.
Real close.
Monticello Casino and Raceway.
Did you know that there's a club you can join where the membership is free and they pay you up to $100 just for signing up? That's right. Become a member of the Players Club at Monticello Casino and Raceway. It's free, and you get up to $100 of free slot play. Members get the VIP treatment, and every time you play with your Players Club card, you get points that you can use for more free slot play, food, or merchandise. Visit the Players Club at Monticello Casino and Raceway for complete details, or sign up online, MonticelloCasinoAndRaceway.com. The excitement never ends at Monticello Casino and Raceway.
Real fun, real fun, real close,
real close.
Monticello Casino and Raceway.
Participation depends on eligibility requirements. Must be 18 years of age or older to play video gaming machines. Please play responsibly. The management reserves the right to alter, modify, or cancel any promotion at any time.
lightning hot country. Thunder 102.
The opinions expressed by the host of this program don't necessarily reflect those of Bold Gold Media Group, Thunder 102, its management, staff, and sponsors.
Welcome back to Curly's Commentary on Thunder 102. I'm Steve Curlander. And before we continue our conversation with Steve Vigliante, I'd like to thank my other sponsors for this hour, Animal Hospital, Sullivan Regency, Yellow Cab, and Thompson Sanitation. We ask that you patronize them. All these great Sullivan County businesses are run by creative entrepreneurs who are role models for other business people in the area. I would ask you to recognize their contributions to our economy and to our community at large. All of them are great benefactors to various local causes and groups, and we thank them for that. And I thank you for sponsoring the show tonight. Now, back to Steve Vigliante. We were talking about maintaining roads. And, I mean, as a part-time supervisor, I mean, it's really not part-time, right?
Well, it's part-time in the sense that, you know, I wouldn't be able to afford to do it on a full-time basis. But I'm very, very lucky in the town of Fallsburg. I have great department heads. I have a great confidential secretary. I have a great controller. So with that team, I stay in touch with them all day. You know, it's an amazing world we live in.
It's really a 24-hour job.
Truly is. I have a police department that, you know, keeps me informed of any major felonies I know about. We have a standing relationship that whatever happens, they wake me up. So I've always wanted to know before I get a call from a constituent, I want to know what's happening in the town. And I have that, you know, aside from our police department, I know that with our highway superintendent. Our code enforcement officer, I mean, pretty much anyone, if there's something going on in town, between Skype, email, texting, phone calls.
It's a whole different world electronically.
There's nothing that happens that I, and, you know, when necessary, the board isn't aware of and part of a decision.
And you know what, the thing I help write the email that you blast. And as part of that, I attend meetings, and, you know, time and time again, it's not because I went to school with the guys that are on there, but they're really a really good group of businessmen and teachers, you know, but compared to other, you know, especially like the village of Monticello, you know, I mean, it's a very, you know, you guys disagree with each other, but you get along, you know, it's nothing personal. I mean, there's some, you know, there's some good stuff going on in that town.
There's some of my oldest friends. There are people I went, you know, that one was a substitute teacher when I was there. Arnold is the only other one I've known in my whole life. And I want to make this as clear as I can make it. I mean, I get a lot of accolades. I'm very, very grateful and humbled by the reception I get when I meet people both in Fallsburg and throughout the county. I think we're doing really, really good things in Fallsburg. And I want to make clear, none of that, not one part of that happens without my board. I have a phenomenal board. They are engaged. They are smart. They are committed to this community. And, you know, it's a benefit. It's a blessing that we have in Fallsburg. I only wish that, you know, that the village of Monticello finds some of that and some of that cohesiveness. What you said is right.
I mean, part of it is you have a smart board.
Right.
You know, and I think in terms of the politics in Sullivan County and probably throughout the state and the nation, there's no incubation process going on in terms of developing business people and teachers and, you know, active members of the community to get into politics.
It's a hard thing.
You know,
I was never in elected office when I ran for supervisor. I was very involved in the Democratic Party in Fallsburg. I was very involved in, I was an assistant county attorney. I mean, I knew a lot about government, but it was a tough transition, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without my board.
And there's a vacuum in terms of nurturing from the county, right? I mean, you have two party leaders who are both probably in their 70s or 80s at this point.
They're older gentlemen.
They're older. I mean, and I think that's a real, you know, problem in terms of who's heading both parties at this point.
While I truly like them.
They're nice men and smart men. But, you know, it's like there hasn't been a transition generational-wise.
It's tough, you know, and I think a good part of the reason for that is that there isn't a lot of our generation. And when I look at you and I, and we're pretty close in age, and you look downward, I mean, each generation, less and less people stay. So it's very, you know, how do those organizations grow? They grow through family units. They, you know, father to son, mother to daughter. you know, and what's happening is it's very hard to bring in the outsider to say, hey, why don't you come to a Democratic committee meeting? What does it do? Well, it's hard to explain what it does, but it's important.
And to be honest with you, they really don't do much anymore.
Yeah, no, you know, less
first of all, there's not how much political patronage is there anymore? Absolutely none.
Well, that's true.
That's a big problem.
There's very, very little.
You know, people would say, oh, that's a great thing. You know, that means everything's running correctly. But you know what? You have to have a little incentive. It's natural for somebody to want something out of doing work.
You know, the problem is what occurs in the void. You know, when you take away patronage, you take away the party system, you take away the
lack of discipline.
You know, what fills in that void is special interest.
Right.
Because you have to get elected. You have to run campaigns. You have to raise money. So instead of having your boots on the ground and your town committees deciding who's best to run and, you know, pancake breakfasts and, you know, tricky trays and all these and raising the money. And, you know, all these little, you know, tchotchke type, you know, fundraisers, you know, that just doesn't happen anymore. And that's like what happens in the void is that, you know,
you know what also
business gets a, you know, big business comes in.
Well, it's not even big business too. It's also, you get some idiots who get powerful as a result of it too. Some people who you never dream of, you know, who just keep throwing bombs.
Yeah, no.
People,
I mean,
you know?
We live in a social media world. I mean, we without mentioning the groups that we all sit and lurk on every day, you know, it's gotten to the point where it's a dangerous place on Facebook these days in Sullivan County. You can't. It's very hard to bring up an issue for debate that doesn't really denigrate into a shouting match. And
you see, you know, because
nobody, you know, it's very easy to be behind a keyboard and not, you know, and not give your name.
There's
and
no
not,
filter,
right?
And there's no smarts either. I mean, these are people that, you know, some of them.
You see, you know, I get texts from you sometimes like, what are you doing? Get off. Don't get involved. But it's true. You know, sometimes you can't help yourself when you see ignorance. You have to confront it. When you see something important, you want to comment on it. I enjoy the debate. I enjoy well-reasoned debate. I enjoy
it. Makes you think, right?
Right. Honestly, you're pretty conservative. In some ways, I'm conservative, but in a lot of ways, I'm much more liberal than you. I enjoy our conversations. You know, when I get into a conversation with a passionate conservative, I my juices flow. I mean, I think it's important. Not everyone should love our president, but, you know, what bothers me most about Facebook is the lack of respect for the office, and that's something that, you know, hey, I was not a fan of of President Bush, but you'll never hear me call him anything other than President Bush.
And, you know, for seeing those pictures, hideous pictures of that people put up of President Obama, it destroys me because it's such a lack of respect. I don't care if you hate the guy's guts, you know, politically. You know, he's still the president of the United States. And that's true of our public officials, too. And, you know, I think at all levels of government, that's what I like about your board. There's no lack of respect there. Everybody talks civilly to each other.
Look, you can watch Fox News and agree with most of what's said there. You can really disagree with the policies of the president. I get it. I don't agree with all the policies of the president either. But we've gone to a world where, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm the only person here that feels this way, but watching Bill O'Reilly interview with the president and talk over him and interrupt him and, you know, barrage him with questions.
Right?
I was embarrassed as an American, and not because of the questions that were being asked. I think they were legitimate questions, and I have no problem if the president wants to sit down and put himself in that position, which I think is important. And I think it's important to not only sit with people that are going to ask you the questions you want to be asked, but the questions that have to be asked.
Steve, I'm going to interrupt you at this point. I have Steve Katz on.
Wait, he may have an opinion on this.
Well, yeah, that's why I think it's a good point for him to come. Steve, you there?
It's Jeff.
Jeff, I'm sorry. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
I have Steve here. That's why I got mixed up. How's the weather down there? You're where, in Virginia?
I am in Virginia, and for Virginia, it's going to be an earth-shattering experience. I know you guys will get a good chuckle, and those of us who have lived in Boston and what have you, but 4 to 8 inches minimum, could be 10 to 12 inches, and that will be enough to shut the state down probably for the next 3 days.
What do we expect, about 18 inches up here?
Well, they're saying anywhere from 11 to 13 inches, so it shouldn't, you know, that's nothing for us, but.
we were just talking about how Facebook's impacted politics and the lack of respect that's shown on Facebook and just generally toward politicians these days. Do you find that's true in Virginia as well?
Well, I think that Facebook has made people a lot closer and removed a lot of the, you might call it respect, or you might look at it more as a formality. I think people are a lot more connected now, and so they don't feel that there's a huge amount of formal relation or respect that's necessary.
Let me ask something. The IRS just extended another year to some small businesses on Obamacare. Is that impacting the economy? Virginia economy is very good at this point, right?
Virginia, the economy is pretty solid. I don't know that it's going to have a great impact on the economy. I think there are a lot of people looking at this and saying, you know, this is not the way this country is supposed to work. You can't just have the president decide, I like this part, I like that part, and we'll delay this and we'll delay that. That's the sort of stuff we see in the Banana Republic populations.
You think that as time goes on, Obamacare is just basically going to fall apart at then?
Oh, I don't know that it's designed to do anything except shift people into a government-managed health insurance system to begin with. I think when you look at it, it's not really designed to survive. It certainly doesn't do what was promised. And I don't know that it falls apart of its own volition. I think that it really winds up shifting people. We're seeing that with companies now, as companies have simply said, we're not going to be interested in providing health coverage. You'll get it through the government. And when you look at what's out there, you also have companies saying, yeah, it makes more sense to us financially to take a $2,000 per person hit than it would to spend $6,000 a year to provide the insurance.
I also think if the Republicans can try not to self-destruct between now and November, I think Obamacare is going to significantly impact the elections, the midterm elections. And I think, you know, in terms of the Senate going Republican and mm-hmm. And the House staying Republican, I think the Democrats are going to take a huge hit. What do you think, Steve?
I think the majority of people don't necessarily feel that universal health care is a bad thing. I don't think, obviously, I can't sit here and say that the rollout went well. I don't think the program is what anyone envisioned when it was proposed. I think it got muddied up in a plutocratic Congress. And, you know, I don't think there was any motivation, and I'll say this, on either party to really get a decent universal health care program done.
See, I think it's a major problem that the Republicans haven't come up with an alternative. Jeff?
Well, you know, I would agree with you overall. I think that there have been some bits and pieces where they've come up with, an idea here, an idea there. And look, the fundamental question is, do you look at health coverage, health insurance, and you have to, I think, really break it down. Are we talking about access to medical care? Are we talking about health insurance? There's a whole variety of different components to this. There are a lot of moving pieces. I think fundamentally the country is better served when the population is healthy, and I think that you can make a very, very convincing argument that to have a healthy population means more people are able to work, more people are able to work longer and more efficiently and more effectively and have more productive lives. And I think that ultimately that's a good thing. You have to cost it out. Is it?
I'm going to segue now.
Whatever you're spending now as opposed to whatever you're going to spend 20 years from now.
You know, I'm going to segue now. I just wrote an article for tomorrow about that situation where Subway voluntarily decided not to use a rubber element to keep its buns elastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of scary to me. It reminded me of The Jungle in terms of what that blogger did in exposing it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem with, I think, the conservatives' message in terms of regulations is that they want to wipe out regulations. But, we can't exist without them. And there's really no smart regulation going on right now. Especially with the FDA, the substance.
Well, listen, Steve. I think that we've got extremists on both ends. You have folks on one side who are firmly convinced that there's absolutely, positively no role for government in any sense of the word, and you have folks on the other side who believe that they should be living with their mommies for the rest of their lives, and the government plays that role. And I think somewhere in the middle are people like you and people like me who say, listen, there are some good things that can be done. There's some things that can only be done through a government situation. You know, my dad worked for the federal government for 40-plus years, and I know he was up at 4 o'clock in the morning and didn't get home until 7 or 8 o'clock at night. He wasn't stealing from anybody. He put it in a very, very honest day's work. And I think the bulk of the people who work in government are probably like that. I look at those who deal with kids like my daughter, who's disabled, special ed teachers, therapists, social workers. These are good people doing a great, great job for the most part.
Right, government's not exactly a bad thing, right?
I don't think it's fundamentally a bad thing. I think, you know, the real debate comes from how big do you want it, how much do you want it involved in your lives. I can't raise an army and I can't build interstate highways. I'll go out on a limb and say you're probably not in that business either, right? So I think there's some things that we all come together on and say, yeah, these are legitimate roles for government. And I don't do a lot of eating at Subway to begin with, but I'd like to know that there's not asphalt in the road and in the sandwich, if at all possible.
You know, it brings what comes to mind is this is right now the debate on fracking, you know, and the use of, you know, hydraulic fracking in New York State. Mm-hmm. Where is the government's role there, and how far?
I think if they had good regulation, I think a lot of people wouldn't be anxious about it.
You know, I know I'm anxious about it. I know I can't support it, and that's I simply can't support it because I haven't. You know, I'm not convinced it's safe to the water supply in New York State. It may or may not be, but I don't think anyone's done a good job convincing the public that it's safe.
And Jeff, we're going to have to take a break at this point. Can you hang on, or do you have to go?
I'm going to have to run because we're doing all this, Snowmageddon stuff here. But you know, as always, I love chatting with you. So anytime that you got some room, I'd love to do it.
You'll come back on the next show, and hopefully there won't be snow at that point.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks for coming on. This is Steve Curlander on Curly's Commentary. We'll be right back.
You found Sullivan County's on air, online, on your cell phone station. Lightning Hot Country. Thunder 102 and Thunder102.com. Radio Bold. Radio Bold. Rock, country, sports, top 40, talk, news, classic hits, and more. Get it all on the Radio Bold app. Free for iPhone and Android. And at RadioBold.com.
When it comes to taking care of our teeth, most of us brush them daily and go to the dentist every year in order to catch and treat developing problems. Hi, this is Barbara Botolowski from the Animal Hospital of Sullivan County, here to tell you that taking care of your pet's teeth is just as important. Dental care is a basic element of your pet's overall health and should start when your pet is a puppy or kitten and continue throughout your pet's lifetime. At the Animal Hospital Sullivan County, February is our designated dental hygiene education month. We are offering our clients a dental health package where they will receive 15% off the pre-surgical exam, anesthesia, dental cleaning, and the hospital stay for the day. Make an appointment today. Call 845-292-6711 or visit ahofsc.com to schedule an important dental exam and cleaning to keep your pet healthy and comfortable. Or email us at info@ahofsc.com. The Animal Hospital of Sullivan County. We care about your pet.
Do you think it's possible to actually enjoy your car buying experience? Hi, this is Howard Braunstein, and if you thought, boy, is that guy crazy, well, then you need to think about a change of venue. At the M&M Auto Group in Liberty, you'll find a group of dealerships in one convenient location that focus on just that, giving you the best experience. And we've been doing it that way for 25 years. In fact, our clients come from all over the New York metro area. They drive by dozens, if not hundreds of stores to come up to the mountains of Sullivan County to have their transportation needs cared for and to do business in a setting that is just plain better. So if you feel like your last car buying experience wasn't all it should have been, and that the salesman and his managers eerily resemble the honey badger, you know, after 3 hours of game playing, that you felt like a day at the dentist's office would have been a better experience, then you owe it to yourself to take a ride to Liberty. The M&M Auto Group, on the phone at 292-3500 or online at mmautogroup.com. At the M&M Auto Group, you're going to love buying your next car from us. and a thank you.
Hi, Grandma. Hey, can my friend use the bathroom?
Of course. It's down the hall and to the left.
What Grandma doesn't know is that he just entered the bathroom to steal her prescription drugs. 70% of the medications abused by teens and young adults are obtained from family and friends. People like you and me.
You get him? Yeah, let's go.
Be aware. Don't share. LockYourMeds.org.
There is now a 24/7 prescription drug drop box located at the Fallsburg Police Station in South Fallsburg. Please help the environment by not flushing or dumping unused medications and avoid having unused prescription drugs falling into the wrong hands. Sponsored by Sullivan County Rural Health Network and the Prescription Drug Task Force.
Thunder Country weather.
Partly cloudy skies, cold tonight, lows minus 4. For tomorrow, mainly sunny with a few afternoon clouds, the highs 23. Considerable cloudiness tomorrow night, lows 11. On Thursday, a winter storm watch is in effect from Thursday morning through late Thursday night. Look for periods of snow, highs in the low 30s. Friday, partly cloudy, highs low 30s. And on Saturday, snow showers at times, highs mid-20s.
The opinions expressed by the host of this program don't necessarily reflect those of Bold Gold Media Group, Thunder 102, its management, staff, and sponsors.
Welcome back to Curly's Commentary. I'm Steve Curlander, and we're here with Steve Igliante.
It's hard to say, actually, what those views do reflect, isn't it?
Okay.
Steve. By the way, I did get a call from one of my board members, a text from one of my board members, just to tell you.
I think you should
that,
identify him. I really do.
You know, he shall remain nameless because the text actually said he wanted to compliment me on having a face for radio. So
you do have a great face. I do, too.
I do. It's amazing. Get that a lot.
Are you ready to talk
Silberto,
some serious?
He keeps telling me that, so.
Maybe I'll bring him on next time. Let's see what kind of face he's got. So, in terms of what's happening in the county now with the casinos coming in, supposedly, what's going on with that? Do you think the governor just appointed three people, right?
Yeah, actually, my law school dean is actually one of the people. So, I think it's an exciting process. I think Sullivan County is in a great position because in the Catskill region, I think we're an odds-on favorite to get at least one.
Did you go to the presentation last night?
I did.
Was that a Capelli presentation?
It was not. They have an agreement in place with Capelli. They announced.
So it wasn't one of his billion-dollar.
No, this is a very real group. Must Development is a very real group out of New York City. They're big time developers, and they're partnered with Foxwood. So, since I represent a different project, I don't feel comfortable really discussing the merits of it. But it was, it's nice to see. It's nice to see the level of interest that we're seeing in Sullivan County.
It would really be great if we had two casinos, right?
I think it'd be,
one in Monticello and one in Liberty. I think that would be amazing. It would be like what we were talking about, at the beginning of the show.
It would be an economic engine that would really allow a lot more growth in Sullivan County. So, like I said, I have a hard time. I don't want to talk about any other projects. I don't think that's fair to them or to my clients. But
okay.
I think having casino gaming in Sullivan County is not a be all end all, but it would certainly be a very strong economic engine that would allow us to flourish a lot faster.
I mean, even if it went to Ellenville, even if one of them went to the Neville, that would benefit the town of Fallsburg quite a bit. I mean, I remember a lot of employees who worked in the Neville and the Fallsview and the Granite lived in Fallsburg.
Absolutely. Fallsburg's poised really to see some very vibrant residential growth. And I think, one of the previous supervisors and previous town boards to me set a table that will allow Fallsburg to kind of benefit a lot more than I think some of the other towns.
First of all, the infrastructure is there, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you have the sewer and the water already there.
We have water and sewer to every hamlet. So, I mean, we have defined corridors where we can really absorb, a lot more commercial and residential growth.
One thing that struck me being away for several years and then coming back was there's some really beautiful areas in the town of Fallsburg too. And your parks and golf courses can't be beat.
Absolutely. And, I say it every time I think I'm on the air here, I talk about it. We have two spectacular 18-hole golf courses, both of which with significant water features.
You have lost many balls.
We have, we have Morningside Park, which is a really, really, when you talk about a town park, it's incredible. It's a campground and a park.
Great event there too, right? I mean,
we have Curry Day every year there. We have, we usually do a winter event. We do a Halloween event there. All year long, we have people on the rowboats and paddle boats.
It's great bass fishing there, right?
Very good fishing.
Yeah.
The past couple of weeks, we've had motorcycle racing. We had a motorcycle club come up and do ice racing, which was a lot of fun to watch. We have really a four-season park in Morningside. It's a treasure.
You also have one in Mountaindale too, right? During the
Mountaindale,
summer.
We have Mountaindale Park. It's mostly a campground, a seasonal campground. Brings a lot of people up to the Mountaindale, hamlet during the summer. It's tucked away, so a lot of people don't know about it. But it's another gem.
So do you, in terms of, let's getting back to in terms of expansion of housing in Fallsburg, do you see more high density housing occurring there at this point? More seasonal housing there, or do you see more of a paradigm change toward full-time single-family homes?
And this is true to every municipality. You need growth. Your costs go up every year. If you're not going to start cutting services, you need to have some reasonable amount of growth in your town to, build your tax assessment and your tax base. In Fallsburg, we've, over the years, up till now, seen most of that growth has been a seasonal community. And it's been, in seasonal housing, tax paying, a lot of it's condoed, but they pay a significant, those projects pay a significant amount of the tax burden in Fallsburg, and without them we'd be in really big trouble. I think happening,
I just want to interrupt you, the massive part of the tax exemptions is really the state and school institutions.
We have roughly 38-39% tax exempt property in town of Fallsburg, which is a huge number. It's highest in the county. But the real number within that 38% is the 22% that's the state and the county. We have three prisons and a college that account for 22% of the tax, roughly 22% of the property in the town of Fallsburg. So people like to blame the summer community, the Orthodox community for a problem that's really not so much theirs. That's 7-8% of the property as opposed to 22%.
I think that's very important.
It's an important statistic. It really is.
Now, when you were doing your budget, the governor just came down with he doesn't want property taxes increasing anymore, but there's no mention of mandate reform either. I mean, how's that impacting towns like Fallsburg or Thompson?
See that, well, first, his proposal is just at this point, exactly that. No one's seen how it's going to roll out.
It's only good for election year too, right?
Yeah, I guess the money's only coming down on election years. It's a very mandate reform is important because we have a very limited, in the town of Fallsburg, I think on your overall tax bill, if you're a homeowner in the town of Fallsburg, me and our board, we make up 19% of it. When you get the bill, you're mad at us. You're not mad at the school. You're not mad at the state or the county. You're mad at us because we're the ones that send it to you. But we really control only about 19% of the actual tax bill.
I was talking to a fire official the other day, and he was telling me how OSHA and state regulations have increased the impact of their budgets tremendously. I mean, he was telling me that they're under the same rules and regulations as the New York City Fire Department, so they have to, increase their equipment, and it's just a tremendous financial burden, and it really doesn't make much sense. Again, it goes back to the regulation.
It goes back to the regulations, and, it's not something I feel comfortable telling a firefighter going into a burning building what level of gear they should be, they should have in their back and what level of Scott pack they should be breathing, should be providing their air. I have nothing but nothing but respect for the fire department.
But it makes their job harder to deal with those regulations.
It makes the district's job harder in their tax levy. But I think when it comes to safety for the firefighters, I'd rather we err on the side of caution. We went through the Grandview fire, and I watched hundreds of firefighters.
They were really terrific.
From three
and
four counties coming to fight a blaze and to have no significant injury. You know what? I'll take the regulations, and I want to make sure that each district make sure every firefighter that goes into a burning building is properly equipped.
So one final question. What's the future for the town of Fallsburg?
I think the future's bright. I think the future for Sullivan County is bright. And so, you know, it's incumbent upon me and our town board, and we're, you know, we think about it every day and how to maximize the opportunities for Fallsburg and bring some true stable tax relief.
You think that over time, the people in the county will finally see their taxes stay even?
You know, I think that the idea of dramatic tax relief is not realistic, but what we should be focusing on is keeping it very stable and keeping it flat while we benefit from the growth that I think that we're going to see in Sullivan County next.
I think particularly when we see a number of people moving up from the city and the metropolitan area. I mean, because, you know, despite how high we think the taxes are here, they're double or triple down there.
Steve, I have several friends on my road that are dear, dear friends to me at this point that have come up from the New York City area that couldn't be more thrilled to live in the town of Fallsburg. Couldn't be more thrilled. They think it's a bargain. They think it's a value. They think it's one of the most beautiful places on the planet.
And you know what? It's a nice quality of life.
It truly is.
I'm going to end the show on that note, saying that we should appreciate where we live here, despite the weather, despite the economy. I mean, I still love living here, and I'm glad to be back, and I hope to make it better with you.
I hope so too. You know, I had a friend, one of my best friends from college, can't believe that I can get up from my desk at 2 o'clock and be teeing off at 2:30. So, you know, that's something there is a quality of life here. I agree with you. Let's make it better.
Do you have to wait for a tea time?
I'm like anybody else. You know, I have to schedule my tea times.
Okay. Well, this has been Curly's Commentary. I'm Steve Curlander. Thanks, Steve Igliante, for joining us tonight. Thanks, Jeff Katz. And please join us for our next show on Thunder 102.
On air, online, on your cell phone.
Thunder 102.
Gotta be there on time. Don't know what to do.
Call a yellow cat.
Say what?
They'll get you through.
Yellow cat. Cause everything else is just a taxi.
Hi, this is Alan Kesslin of Yellow Cab in Monticello. If you rely on cabs every day to go to work, shopping, doctor visits, school, or whatever, I want to tell you about the best deal in town. How about free? That's right, free. Become a member of our Yellow Cab Frequent Rider program, and after every 10 rides, you get a ride for free. And it's free to join. Just call and tell us that you want to join hundreds of other loyal members who ride a clean, safe Yellow Cab every day and get free rides. Call us at 794-4040 or 794-7777.
Yellow Cab, because everything else is just a taxi.
From a block away, I can hear the clickety-clack of her high heels on the wet pavement. I check my watch. 6:30. No, midnight. I had it on upside down. What's the story? I asked. She looked like the girl from The Exorcist as her head turned in every direction.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. I didn't know anyone could do graphics of this sort.
It was obvious she was as nervous as a porcupine in a balloon factory. Spit it out, I demanded. Which she did, right on top of my charcoal gray imitation leather hush puppies. So, what's the big secret? I asked. And in a voice I'll never forget, she replied, Gaza Graphics, specializing in full-color indoor and outdoor signage, banners, decals, and vehicle graphics, done with friendly customer service and a super-fast turnaround time. Gaza Graphics, now located on 471 North Main Street in Liberty.
Yep, sounded like some new science. Might not be a bad idea.
Gaza Graphics, working hard to exceed their customers' expectations. Gaza Graphics, now located at 471 North Main Street in Liberty, 845-796-9212. That's 796-9212.